This is Tyler and Shay. Tyler and Shay.
I know you're going to dig this.
On Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago. Chicago. Always streaming on the ESPN Chicago app.
Check this out.
Welcome in on a Saturday, Tyler and Shay. We have no Tyler Aki today and a little bit of a schedule adjustment. We're hanging out with you until 9:30 this morning. 312-332-3776 if you want to join in on anything we got to talk about. Good day yesterday for the Cubs. Not a great day for the White Sox. Cubs win 16-2 over the Blue Jays. White Sox fall to Detroit, the series opener, 4-3. Jack,
hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Mr. Shay?
Mr. Shay.
We can't use.
I don't think anybody has ever called me that in my life.
Well, it's your name.
My name is not Mr. Shay.
Okay.
Mr. I felt like a teacher for a second. Okay. All right. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I'm doing great. It's a fun morning. Cubbies won yesterday. The offense finally broke out. PCA continues to rake. One of the streakiest players we've seen, but White Sox couldn't get it done yesterday, but they faced the Detroit Tigers ace, Tarek Skubal, and so it is what it is, and they move on. And they got to him. They scored three runs in the game, but in the end, it just wasn't enough. He got in a fight with Mike Vassell, which I thought was awesome. It was a good day yesterday. Even though the White Sox lost, overall, I still think it was a good day for our Chicago teams.
Yeah, it was fun, but I want to talk about something a little different, because you just informed me of an issue that you're having.
Well, yeah.
And I don't want to blow up your spot too much.
Okay.
Because your girlfriend has a birthday coming up?
Yeah, late July.
Late July. And you're shopping for a gift?
Well, yes. She might be listening right now, so careful. Tread water carefully.
I don't want to blow up the spot too much.
Okay.
But the gift that you're shopping for, we'll call it an event.
An event, yes.
And you looked at ticket prices for this event.
Yes.
And?
They were ridiculously high. It was, to get in the door, it's about $750. If you want an unobstructed view, it's a grand.
Smokes. Unobstructed view starts at $1,000.
Correct. About, like, right around there, $950 to $1,000. It depends on the day. I've been checking every day.
Here's my question.
Yeah.
And this is for you, and this is for all the people out there. 312-332-3776. Are you at a point with sporting events, with concerts, with whatever it is, where, I mean, the World Cup's going on, and there have been plenty of articles written about the brutality that is ticket prices, that it was going to cost you, when FIFA released them initially, it was going to cost you $1,000 to get a decent seat at a World Cup game. Ticket. I mean, we did the Taylor Swift shows when he was here. You had to mortgage your house to get tickets to Taylor Swift. Baseball games yesterday at Wrigley. I checked on secondary market to get in price.
$100 to get in.
We're talking about a team that's a couple games over 500 that's been mired in a brutal stretch. But you wake up, it's 75 degrees at Wrigley Field. And I'm like, man, be nice to spend a day at a baseball stadium today. $100 minimum to get in the building, obstructed view. You want to sit in the bleachers? Try $150. And I'm like, forget it. Are you at a point with sports and concerts and whatever events that you're looking at where you'd rather just not go?
Eh. No. I mean, it depends on the concert. I get what you're saying, Shay, that the ticket prices for some of these events are ridiculous. And if you want to get into a big-time event.
It's all of these events.
There were Cubs tickets on the secondary market when they were playing the Rockies and there was rain in the forecast for $20 the other day.
Right, I understand, but weekday versus weekend. I mean, I have friends who want to bring their kids.
It's Father's Day weekend, and it was a long weekend for a lot of people. 100%.
But I have friends who have said they want to bring their kids to a game at Wrigley Field, rite a passage, like come in from out of town. They look at the prices, one, to get here, and two, to go to the games. They're like, forget it. We can't do it. You can't swing it in the summer plans. It doesn't fit the budget anymore. I talk about this all the time because all we see in sports now is greed from any level. But I'm dying because pre-show, you're looking for tickets to an event.
Yes.
And you
and
just
we can say, if she's listening, she knows what it is.
Okay.
Now. It was the Ariana Grande concert, which is in August, which the tickets, they now she plays at Soldier Field.
Now I've blown up your spot.
Yeah, you have. It's okay. But the tickets are ridiculous. They're $750 to a grand just to get in the door, depending on when you're looking.
It's ridiculous.
And it's just impossible to get tickets. But I see, I get what you're saying, Shay, but there's a lot of people that want to go to that concert, which 100%. I completely understand. Soldier Field doesn't seat as many people as some of the other NFL stadiums across the country. Chicago's a very large city. Ariana Grande is only here for a weekend. It's like, yeah, I mean, it stinks, but it is what it is. That's just what happens.
I'm just making my, I get tired of it to the point that, like, I look at tickets for a concert like that. If I wanted to go, I'd give you an example of one that I wouldn't pay for, but I can't because I just don't go anymore. I don't go to concerts. And I used to go to a ton, but a part of it is, like, we're going to see Noah Kahan at Wrigley Field. That was insane.
Yeah.
That's the first concert I'm going to in a long time. But you look at the ticket prices for most of these things, and it's like, forget it. You want to go see, take your pick, Metallica was at Soldier Field. And you look at the ticket market, and it's like $500 to get a decent seat. Forget, who can afford that? Forget it, like going to an NFL game, average fan can't. Baseball game yesterday, if you woke up, you wanted to take you and the family, four tickets to Wrigley? Nope, out the window. No, who in their right mind is spending $500 on a whim to go to a Cubs game on a Saturday? I have hit my wall with pricing for events like this, where I'll be real. My wife looked at the Ariana Grande tickets and she's like, she wasn't dying to go, but she's like, you know, if they're affordable, I'd do it. And she pulled them up. She goes, forget it. There's no chance. I don't want to see her that badly. I wonder when fans are going to hit that wall where I'm kind of at, where I would just rather be at home. I would rather.
Well, a lot of fans have hit that wall, especially in the NFL. I mean, you hear hosts on our station, Carmen, Yurko, other hosts, who say they rather watch from their couch. I have had uncles who have watched from their couch their whole life who don't want to go to the stadium. And plus, the TV broadcasts have gotten so good nowadays, and there's so much to watch, especially for football, and even in baseball, there's so much to watch that sometimes it is a better viewing experience just from your home. I'm not on the same level as you. I get it. The ticket prices are a lot. If you're going to a game at Wrigley or Wright Field, if you buy them at the right time, typically you can get a pretty cheap ticket in the weekday games. I understand Saturday, oh no, they're very expensive today. They were very expensive yesterday. All right, it's Father's Day weekend. It's a three-day weekend for a lot of people. They're going to be expensive tickets. Everybody wants to go. It's supply and demand. People want to go to the games. So I get what you're saying, Shay, and I think people eventually are going to have had enough, but it's not something I get too upset about because, yeah, they're expensive at times, but they're not always that expensive. So I don't get too upset about it.
Well, but you also are somebody who has easy opportunity to go to weekday games, which I think most people don't.
That's fair. That's true.
And where I always end up with this is it's less about me and it's more about average guy with two kids where, like, when I was growing up, my dad could take me to a baseball game.
Yeah.
We had season tickets. I went all the time. But now, like, this is where I get worried about the future of sports a little bit, is our kids going to have the same opportunity to spend a day at the ballpark that I had when I was growing up? Are you going to be able to go to an NFL game? Are you going to be able to watch them the more that they sell them to different streaming networks? It's, again, all of this stuff is greed. And I think concert tickets are the absolute worst. I mean, there's legal action about it. You can do the reading, but like concert tickets, you're getting raked over the coals as an average fan. It's just at a certain point, people are going to have enough. And I've hit that point. For me, I'd rather rack up $100 bar tab on a Saturday than spend $1,000 on concert tickets. And then God knows you got to spend money on the food. It's no different than going to a baseball game these days. If you walk to Wrigley, yeah, it's $500 to get in yesterday for a family of four. If you want seats where you can actually see what's happening, $500 for a family of four to get in. Then if you want a hot dog, drinks, food, whatever, Like, you're talking about $1,000 day by the time it's all said and done.
Yeah.
Just stay home. You, if you bought tickets to Ariana Grande, you're talking about...
Oh, no, I'm talking about a massive investment.
It's like a $2,500 investment.
It's either I pay
you
rent
and your
for the
girlfriend
month
to go see Ariana Grande. That's outrageous. We're losing cabin pressure with all of this. That's insane. The average person should not be expected to make a mortgage payment to go to a concert. And I just feel bad for you. You're sitting here like, oh, I could have surprised her. Nope.
Not anymore. Now I definitely can.
Now you definitely can. Well, you'll come up with something else.
Yeah. I'm not a big concert goer. Are you a big concert goer? I haven't gone to a concert in a long, long time.
I got offered free tickets yesterday to go to Morgan Wallen, and I turned them down.
That's insane to me. Free tickets are free tickets. Even if you don't like Morgan Wallen, free tickets are free tickets.
I don't know a single song. I said yes initially. It was one of those things where, like, I found out about it late Friday night at the bar, and it was a drunk yes, and I woke, or Thursday night.
Oh, you said yes, and then you pulled out?
And I woke up yesterday morning, and I thought, I didn't really mean to say yes.
It's like Mario's friend who offered him Washington, D.C. tickets to go see the UFC fight, then decided not to actually offer.
I don't know what happened there, but Mario didn't make it to Washington, D.C.
He did not.
For those of us who were with us last week and wanted to know, Mario didn't make it to the UFC fight. But yeah, I got offered free ticket. I woke up yesterday morning and I just thought, I didn't mean to say yes to that. And I said, take somebody who will have a good time.
Yeah.
Because I don't know a single song. And really, I was just like, yeah, I get dinner and hang out before. And mm-hmm. then, you know, the guy, I'm like, I don't need to do this. But regardless, I was a huge concert goer. Mm-hmm. My wife and I, when we got together, went all the time. But now, no.
I've never been a big concert guy. And like, they're fun. They're a good time when I have gone to concerts, but it's just I'm more of a sporting event guy. And so that's where I spend my money. I don't spend them on concerts as much. I'd rather go to a game or something like that.
I honestly don't go to a lot of games unless I'm given tickets because I don't want to pay for them anymore. It's outrageous.
Yeah. See, I like being there. Like the atmosphere. I'm willing to pay for the atmosphere. I love being in the state. It's just, there's something special about being there for moments that are unique and special. Like when Yamamoto almost had that perfect game the other day. What was that? Last Saturday? A week from today? That would have been awesome. Watching that from my TV, I would have been, whatever. Yamamoto threw a perfect game against the White Sox. Being there would have been great. That would have been a story I told about being at Yamamoto's perfect game for forever. So just the chance of being there for something special is enough to get my butt in the seat.
I don't disagree. Like, I want to go to games, but it's not worth what they ask. I would love nothing more than to go to a World Cup game. I've never been to one, and I love the World Cup. Yeah, I've been watching it all weekend. But the ticket prices that were posted, you were talking about $1,000 a seat.
Yeah.
So, no, I can't. I got to travel someplace and spend $1,000 on a ticket?
Yeah, that's too much.
I don't have it.
No.
312-332-3776. Mitchell is in Burbank. What's up, Mitchell?
What's going on, guys? Good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, so on the ticket prices, I'm in a new relationship. My girlfriend and I just bought a house out here out in the Burbank area. And we've been going to concerts all last year. We went to concerts with C. Priest and Alice Cooper, and we saw a couple of, like, Violent Femmes and all that other stuff. But this year, now it's a different story since we're moving in together. She got tickets for Riot Fest, astronomical price. We got tickets to go see the Dead South Amigo the Devil this upcoming week. Then we got tickets for Maiden. All these tickets, it's like, I'm looking at my bank statement like, oh my God, what is going on here?
Yep.
It's so crazy. And then a lot of these places that you can't even pay cash anymore, which is which stinks anyways, because you got to always have your card on you, and you're at risk of getting double tapped or your stuff stolen, which I had done at last year at the Salt Shed. It's a mess. So it's like you go there, you spend $9 for a water, $13 for a beer, $16 for a beer at Tinley. It's just, it's the ticket price plus gas. Now you got to pay to park at Tinley. It's you're looking at $300, $400 just before you even walk in.
I know, Mitchell.
Before you even get to your seats.
I'm telling you, I'd rather go to a bar. I'd rather run up a bar tab.
You're 100% right. And then if you don't drink at these places, you're still paying $6 for a regular bottle of water.
Yeah.
It's insane.
I think the concession prices are worse than the actual ticket prices at these places.
But it's all the same.
You can't go to Wrigley if you want a couple of beers, you're spending $50.
It's all the same. You can't get in to pay prices you can't afford for food. It's all the same. And all it is it's lining pockets that don't help fans. It always bothers me when these things get taken away from the people who built them. And now fans don't have access to sports the way that they used to, certainly concerts. It just bothers me. And it's all greed. I don't know what we can do about it, but it's. I would rather go to a bar. I would rather sit at home and watch 99.9% of sporting events. I'd rather go to a bar for a concert. I would love to go to the World Cup, but I can't. So I'm going to sit at home and watch it on TV or go to a bar for a bigger match. Because they've priced people out. And I think eventually they're going to end up hurting themselves. 312-332-3776 if you want to weigh in on it. We are on until 9:30. Jack is in for Tyler. It's Tyler and Shane.
Welcome back to Tyler Rocky and Shane Orley. We're back on ESPN Chicago.
To a tag Ovalia.
Balligan has a step on Chicotti. Balligan to the byline. Balligan into the middle. Dead! It's the United States once again on the board early. Ricardo Pepi was
wet.
Was it perhaps last off the defender? Who cares? It's 1-0 U.S.
Leads to the set piece.
Robinson fizzing.
We swept Marquette.
Blocked. Still in. Might be two. Is two. Or maybe not. The flag comes up for offside. Freeman thought he was celebrating a World Cup goal.
Goal scorer was not in offside position.
And the building shakes in Seattle.
USA won their second World Cup game yesterday. I believe they won the group with Paraguay beating Turkey late last night.
6 points.
I think USA clinches a group win. I believe that's the case.
I think that's right.
So be one of the top 12 in the round of 32.
Yeah. And
not
that's
bad.
Huge. That's huge because
not
it means
bad.
The way it's seeded, if you're one of the top 12, you're going to be playing a team that obviously did not come in first place in their group, second or third, most likely.
I do want to get to this maybe at 8:30 because I'll bring up that there are projected brackets at the BBC for the World Cup. And I know a lot of people are like, I don't care. But I keep seeing people saying USA's really good. USA's going to make a run. I've seen real bold people be like, are we going to make a semifinal or the final? No. But I do want to bring up what the bracket looks like as it stands because there might be an opportunity here to make a little noise. This expansion thing and that what you were just saying, winning the group and getting the top seed,
it's huge.
You are going to face lower tier opponents. I'm not going to say bad teams because once you get to the knockouts in the World Cup, there really aren't bad teams, but 32 teams move on. There are bad teams.
Yeah.
Paraguay is perfectly mid. They are going to make, in all likelihood, the knockouts.
Well, a bunch of third place teams are going to make it to the round of 32, which is not how it has been in the past. Typically, you had to finish one or two in your group, but they changed it this year with the expansion. They wanted more teams in, more games. We've seen that in every single sport that we could possibly see it in.
Again,
the NCAA
green.
Tournament, college football,
again.
Major League Baseball,
green.
Which I hate that they expanded it. The NFL,
green.
Everybody's done it. In the NBA with the play-in games, too. Actually, it's every single league that we could possibly care about, except the NHL, right?
So, okay, I'm going to say something that could be taken as offensive if you're a hockey fan, but it's true, and it's the reason why hockey and the NHL remain the most, I won't say totally pure, because no one is, but they are the most pure of all of the sports. Like, college is just a different story. I mean, forget it. The way that they've expanded
yes.
the tournament and the college football playoff, hockey stays unchanged and unruined because it's a broke sport. It just is. The funniest thing about the hockey offseason is you'll see, like, last year when Connor McDavid signed his extension, and then you comp it to NBA money.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
And you're like, oh, wow. He's got – pick a role player.
Alex Caruso.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, Connor – probably Alex Caruso makes more money than Connor McDavid, if I had to guess. Like, the record-breaking deal, and then you see hockey fans are like, how is this going to mess up our cap sheet? And it's like $21 million over 3 years.
Yeah.
It's a broke sport. There's not enough money in it that they can do a bunch of expansion stuff, and, like, there's not enough money to be as greedy as the other sports. But this is what I was saying in our open. Like, if you want to go see the Team USA in a round of 32 match, God bless.
So in
good luck getting a ticket.
In the round of 32, right now, you mentioned those projections. The team, according to The Athletic, the USA and their projections, is most likely to play is Bosnia and Herzegovina. And if and Bosnia is ranked 64th in the world. 64th in the world! And that's potentially who the USA could play in the round of 32. That is almost, I'm not going to say a guaranteed win, but USA would be 5-1, 6-1 odds to win that game. I mean, it would be ridiculous. So that they're setting themselves up for a very decent run. For comparison, Paraguay is ranked 37th in the world, and they handled Paraguay very easily. So the USA is in a prime spot to move on. But yeah, as you were saying, Shay, obviously the ticket prices are ridiculous, so it would be very difficult to be able to afford those. But yes, the USA is set up to make a very solid run. I don't know if I fully believe it, though, just because of who they've beat. They beat Paraguay. Nah, nothing really special. They beat Australia. Australia's ranked 25th in the world. It's kind of to me.
Can you just enjoy it?
I'm enjoying it, but it's kind of to me. I mean, I'm not a huge, huge soccer guy. I don't know the ins and outs of every single player. But what I'm seeing, if I was comparing it to a college sport, it's a team that's beaten a couple of teams, one team that's unranked, one team that's on the precipice of being ranked, and you feel pretty good going into the season, but they still have to play those teams that they're going to face who are top tier. They still haven't faced, if you're comparing it to college football, the Ohio State, the Alabama, the Georgia. They still have to face those blue bloods, those top teams that you'll see, like, they'll see in the group stages, Argentina, France, Spain, Brazil, whoever else they're going to see. They haven't seen those yet. But right now, I think everything's feeling good for Team USA.
Yeah, so the way that this shakes out, again, this is what I'm looking at the BBC. They have the as-it-stands bracket. And this is why people are getting a little excited about USA's potential to do some damage. You mentioned that as it stands, you would play Bosnia-Herzegovina in the round of 32. Your opponent then would be either New Zealand or Czechia. And after that, you would face one of these four teams to make a semi- or to make it to the quarterfinal. This would be a round of 16 opponent. Would be one of these four teams. Are you ready?
Let's hear it.
Congo, Ghana, Austria, or Uruguay. Uruguay is the only really good team in that group. That is probably the easiest path to a quarterfinal that I have ever seen, especially when another path exists. Get ready for this, McGrath.
Let's hear it.
This is why, like you said, you haven't played Ohio State yet. I would say you might not have to, because Ohio State went and drew with, for purposes of this, Western Kentucky. Spain drawing Cape Verde is like if Ohio State lost to Western Kentucky. Brazil and Japan. I'll put it this way. I'm not going to go through all the matchups. I'm going to put it this way. Brazil, France, Mexico, Spain, England, and Portugal occupy the same pod to make a quarterfinal.
That'd be nice.
Brazil, France, Mexico, Spain, England, and Portugal. For context, if you're not familiar,
that's like Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, and Michigan all in the same pod.
Spain, France, and Brazil were the three favorites to win the tournament. They're all in the same group to make a quarterfinal. So one of three Ohio States won't even be alive at the quarterfinal.
Shaping up good for the USA.
This is where, like, if you're a U.S. soccer fan and this could be a little bit fun. I'm willing to say it could be a little bit fun.
How much have you tuned into the tournament? Are you watching every game right now? Or okay. I watched the USA games. I didn't see the full one yesterday. I was a little busy, so I rewatched some of the highlights and caught the end of it. I've watched the USA games. I've caught some of the other games. I haven't been locked in on every single game. I've been more watching the baseball and things like
no,
that.
No, I dial in, man. The World Cup is, it's, I don't want to say it's my event because obviously that's obnoxious, but it's one of the events that I'm going to watch as much of it as I possibly can. I love it. I used to be in high school, in college, I was a huge soccer guy. I had I'd watch European games. The older you get, the less time you have. I love soccer. It's just, I don't have as much time to commit to it where I'm going to be waking up at 5 a.m. on a Sunday and picking an English Premier League team and get the Peacock subscription and all of that stuff. I don't have the time to commit to it the way that I could when I was in college, but I love soccer. So the World Cup's on. Matter of fact, I'm going to talk to you about something else and relate it back to baseball with the World Cup. Let's do that next. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Tyler's out. Jack is in. It's Tyler and Chick. Is this a karaoke version of?
It's just the instrumental.
Is this Sabrina?
Yeah, this is. But it didn't sound. It sounded like
all
a
the instrumentals,
weird, like 16-bit karaoke version.
Yeah, especially with these pop songs now. Like if you just hear the instrumentals, it sounds like nothing like the song without the lyrics.
That is Nick Palazzolo producing today. It's Tyler and Shay. Tyler has the day off. Jack McGrath sitting in for him, and we were just discussing World Cup. How locked in I am because I'm watching all of it. And I have a question for fans on this 312-332-3776 because I'm going to freely admit something this morning.
Let's hear it. What you got?
I am not built for 162. I have realized.
Okay.
And I'm okay.
You and Kat both?
I'm okay with that. I am not built for 162.
Explain.
I felt this weekend I needed a break from baseball.
Okay.
I had spent the better part of basically, when did the season start? March 25th?
Yeah, early this year. It's earlier than it's ever been.
I have watched at least one baseball game, probably 90% of the days since then.
Okay.
I love baseball. I grew up playing it. It is my favorite sport. I love it. I'm not built for 162. I'm exhausted.
Well, I mean,
I hit a point.
To be fair, your Tigers aren't very good this year.
100%. But I hit a point watching the Cubs in this exhausting stretch that they've been in. And I know they've won a couple games, but I still I'm not doing is this the turning point for the Cubs? They scored 16 runs yesterday. I'm not doing it. Win a series again and then win another series. And then we can talk about where this team is at. To me, they're still among the five worst teams in baseball since middle of May. So I'm pumping the brakes. But the point I'm making is I realized I needed a break. So this weekend, I have done nothing so far but watch the World Cup. And it has been the perfect respite for my baseball exhaustion.
Well, the Cubs have been so frustrating that I think that is completely understandable, especially when they were on the losing streak and even after the losing streak when everybody thought they were finally hitting the turning point. It's the way they play that just kind of exhausts you, or the way they were playing that kind of exhausts you. There are times when it doesn't look like everybody's fully bought in. They're not making adjustments, as Jason Kipnis said on the Marquee broadcast. There were times that it didn't feel like the energy was there. Now, I think it's starting to get back. And I think Pete Crow Armstrong is the catalyst for that. I think we've seen the two extremes of what the Chicago Cubs are. We saw the extreme of them losing 10 in a row. We've seen the extremes of them winning 10 in a row. What reality most likely is what it's been for the last week and a half. where they are a couple of games above 500. And they'll probably settle in because they don't have starting pitching because their entire rotation got hurt at the same time. They'll probably settle in between like an 85 to 90 win team. And that will get them into the wild card, and they'll be in the exact same position they were last season, where they're going to have to win a wild card round, and they're not going to win the division because the Milwaukee Brewers are running away with it. And I understand where you're coming from.
It's all
why
well and
that
good.
Can be frustrating.
But it's not even like even if they, I want to know from you, and I want to know from the people 312-332-3776. Is it okay to take a weekend sabbatical from baseball?
Of course.
Is it okay to not necessarily be built for 162, as Cap coined it, where you're yes. locked in every night on your team. I need a weekend off. And I say it's
Shay, the players need a weekend off at times.
100%. And they get one coming up in a little less than a month for the All-Star break. It's also for me, it is the job that you watch all of it, that you're locked into all of it. We watch so you don't have to, as Jonathan Hood says. I just need a break. Is it okay for me to take a weekend off of baseball? Sox fans probably feel a little differently because this has been the unexpected dream season to this point. I can't imagine many Sox fans are like, yeah, I'm trading and watching the Sox to watch the World Cup. I needed a weekend. I needed a weekend off. My team is miserable. They're playing the White Sox right now, and I'm sick of watching my team. So tuning in, watching the White Sox broadcast, or listening to the White Sox broadcast, I'm fine with it, but it's almost a spite watch for me at this point. The Cubs, I'm tired. I needed a weekend, and the World Cup is on, and I am way more entertained and interested in what the World Cup has to offer than I am baseball at this moment. And it has nothing to do with not liking baseball or thinking it's boring. It's just I have been locked in for so long, and I am now exhausted. I'm taking a weekend off. I need to know if that's okay. If anyone else, this is a safe space.
Shay,
if anyone else is
okay.
willing
Shay,
to admit.
Shay, stop. Take a deep breath.
I need other people to be willing to admit they're not built for 162.
Shay, take a deep breath, man. You don't have to watch every single game. I understand you want to. I understand it's the job. But if you need a break to watch the World Cup, that is okay. The players don't play in 162 games. 99% of fans don't watch 162 games a year. You're good. You don't have to watch every single game. You can take a break from baseball. That's okay. Be okay with that.
I am okay
and
with
being
it.
Built for
I've 160, had a wonderful weekend.
Being built for 162 is not necessarily saying that you don't need any break from watching the games. I get it. You need a break. Your team's not very good. You need a break. Not being a fan for 162 is overreacting to every single little thing that happens and not realizing that it's a 162 yes. game season and things are going to even out.
Yes.
As fans, we have a tendency to overreact to every single little thing in the season. For example, PCA is not going to hit 70 more home runs this season like the pace that he's on currently. He's going to even out again. He's shown both extremes once again, just like the Cubbies have. Everything evens out in baseball, and knowing that is being built for 162 in a major league season. You don't have to watch every single game, Shay. If you can't,
it's
if you
too
can't
many.
Do it, watch the World Cup. If the World Cup comes every 4 years, and it's the first time in, what, two decades, that more than that, that it's been in America? So just
1994 was the last
so
time.
So 3 decades.
Well, that but even America. The part of it being in America, it's just the games are on at normal times.
Exactly. And so enjoy it. It only comes every 4 years.
And you actually get all day. Like today, are you kidding? There's 5 games on today. All day. You could sit in front of, it's like March Madness. You could sit in front of your TV and do nothing but watch the World Cup. And it's beautiful out. Go outside. I do something else than watch a baseball game. It just becomes so exhausting locking in for 162 of these. There's too many. And I don't necessarily listen, I'll be honest, I would love if they shortened the season. As Carmen has said, started on Jackie Robinson Day.
Next year it probably will be.
Okay. Don't get bleak. God, that, see, that upset me. Because do you think there's going to be baseball next year?
I think there will be baseball.
I don't.
Jesse has said, I believe, on air that he thinks there will be baseball. It'll just be shortened. I think that's what makes sense. That's what we've seen in a lot of these recent lockouts. The NBA did it 10, 15 years ago where they had the lockout and they just shortened the season. They can't afford to lose a whole season. They did that in COVID, too. They couldn't afford to lose a whole season, so they shortened the season. I think the season will be shortened.
It's a different game. This is the sport. The last time it was this tense was 94. They canceled the World Series. Missed half a summer. And they never really recovered. It took the steroid era to recover from the 94 strike.
Don't you hope that they would have learned from that, though? All right, maybe not.
It's a bad take.
Learned from it? Dude, there's two sides that are so dug in where the owners have to have a salary. This is the other thing that kills me, too, is like, you know what it costs to get groceries right now. Hey, people are struggling to pay their mortgage, and then you're being asked to take sides in a fight between millionaires and billionaires?
I'm not taking sides. I'm on the side of I want everybody to get along.
Well, yeah, 100%. But this is where I grow tired of stuff like this in sports is the billionaires asking for a salary cap and the millionaires don't want to give it to them. Like, it's not relatable to me. I can't relate to where sports are. There's so much money in it. The team valuations are so massive. And everyday people are struggling. And this product that's supposed to entertain us is becoming a greed war for a salary cap. I can't relate to it. I have no ability to care about it because at the end of the day, all that's going to happen is the fans pay the price when they lose games or lose a season. So that also has marred my ability to really lock in for baseball is now, look, my team stinks and this year is lost and I don't know if there is a next year.
You think the Tigers trade Skubal?
They better.
He looked okay last night coming back from injury. I can't believe he came back from injury that quickly.
They better.
But once again, it's one of those things that his contract negotiations could be massively affected by whatever goes in next season.
Dean's downtown. What's up, Dean?
Oh, boy.
Hey, guys. Before I get to my point, I want to remind the listening audience that Nick knows the villain from Beverly Hills Cop off the top of his head at 23 years old. That is a true fan of cinema right there. A great guy. Great sign of a young man with a bright future. Now, it's okay to hate your team and think that they suck, like me and you, Shay, respectively. The Cubs and the Tigers suck, regardless of what your partner over there is going to tell you. But every day is a money-making opportunity. So, you know, Shohei last year, there was a point in the season when he was seemingly hitting a home run and stealing a base every day. And I was making a lot of money just, you know, separately, RBI, stolen base, home run, parlaying them a couple of times, hit ridiculous. PCA is on this same kind of streak right now where until further notice, you should be betting on all his crap, parlaying him to home run, steal a base. Scared money don't make no money, baby. Talking about chill. Chill don't pay the bills.
So the Cubs don't suck. That's just wrong.
Okay. We can discuss that in a moment, but also I can't take a break from baseball because gambling. Dean is at.
There's not enough data on it.
God bless. Do your thing. I want to talk PCA with you a little bit, so we'll get to that as well. Jack McGrath in for Tyler this morning. It's Tyler and Shay.
Nothing Cubs. Say a Suzuki, a two-run double. High fly ball, left field. That one is back on its way and out of here. Grand slam, Carson Kelly. 6-0 Cubs. Line drive, base hit, left field. Dansby is in. Bregman RBI single. And it's 7-0. Line drive. Bam! Into right field. And that'll score a run. And PCA stays smoking hot. Right field. Over the head of Sanchez. and watch Dean run. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man. Who's going to anchor your relay team?
Ball game. Cubs win. Milner finishes it off 16-2. It's nice to have a laugher.
Yeah, it is nice to have a laugher once in a while. 16 runs yesterday. Cubs maybe are coming out of their slump, and the offense is starting to wake up. Shane Orling, Jack McGrath with me this morning. Tyler has the day off. But I'm not going to do the turning point stuff. I'm not going to do the season's back, a World Series back on. I'm not there. It was nice yesterday. It's been nice. They rescued the stretch against the bad teams, winning a couple series over the Giants and the Rockies. You start the series with the Blue Jays with a win, win the series, keep the offense rolling, and we can talk. Win a couple more series in a row, and we can talk about, okay, can this team still get where they needed to go? And I don't want anybody to forget when the season started, we had the conversations, and it was World Series or bust.
Oh, 100%.
So I'm not moving the goalpost.
Shay, the window's
open. That's the goal.
The window's open. All of the Cubs' top prospects from the rebuild in 2020 are now up. This is the championship window.
Moises Ballesteros isn't.
But. Well, not anymore. Kevin Alcantara was, but not anymore. Some of those guys aren't panning out as immediately as we thought, and may never, but they might. You still don't know. I think there's still big question marks with those guys.
The best thing that the Cubs could do, if these guys aren't going to be on the major league roster, you're going to keep ferrying them back and forth, get them out of the organization. By which I mean, if you feel like you can still do something, buy at the deadline using those players.
And now, they need pitching.
The problem you're going to have is pitching is expensive, and you're going to blow up this farm that's already pretty emptied out to go even deeper in the pot with a team that over the last 2.5 months has shown not really World Series caliber. Now, I don't want to say that necessarily because you're still four games over. Maybe you've been through the worst of it in the last couple months. But there's also, Jack, the reality, you even brought it up, the 2 10-game win streaks and the 10-game losing streak probably aren't a real representation of what this team is, because we know in baseball there's this randomness to it where there are fluke outcomes. I think 10-game win streaks are fluke outcomes. I think 10-game losing streaks are fluke outcomes. Outside of that, the Cubs are basically an average baseball team.
Yes, I agree with you. We also have to acknowledge they haven't had pitching all season long. Their top three pitchers are all on the IL right now, and it's been that way for weeks. Everybody wants to talk about the offense, and I get it. Outside of Ben Brown, the team's ERA is above 5.
Yeah, it's a negative wins above replacement for the rotation combined, even with Ben Brown.
Ben Brown has been the savior of this team. He's going to be an all-star this year.
Edward Cabrera's
been brutal. The Cubs got really lucky. Edward Cabrera hasn't been good, and he's showing those injury issues are starting to pop up again. Matthew Boyd had a freak injury where he hurt his knee playing with his kid. Justin Steele is going to come back at some point. Not sure how soon it's going to be.
Question mark?
Yeah, and you hope he's as good as he was, but when he was on, he was near a Cy Young contender. So that could potentially be a really nice guy to add to your pitching staff. You won't get Cade Horton back this year, but you will get Matthew Boyd back. Suddenly your 1-2-3 in the rotation go from Shota, Ben Brown, and Edward Cabrera, who's been super up and down. Edward Cabrera and Shota go to 4-5 in the rotation, and Steele and Boyd hop in your 2-3 spots if you're assuming Ben Brown right now is your number one. And they should go trade for a pitcher. So yes, they're up and down. I won't get on they're not a World Series team right now, because I still think they have that ability. They have the fourth best run differential in the National League right now, and that is without a good pitching staff. That is with, which is hopefully the biggest slump that they will have this season. They will get better. They will even out. Sure, they might only win 85, 90 games, but the way that, as we talked about earlier, Major League Baseball has expanded that wild card to 3 teams, that will give them a chance in the playoffs. That's not what the goal was at the beginning of the regular season. The beginning of the regular season, the goal was to win the division. That's not looking super likely anymore. They're still 6.5 back. It's not out of the realm of possibilities. but they'll still give themselves a shot in October. They should give themselves a shot in October. And if that pitching staff comes back and they trade for maybe one more pitcher and they'll need some help in the bullpen, if they make those moves, they will give themselves a shot late in the season in September and October.
Well, they're in place for it. And the reality, too, for me is we got to figure out what this offense is. I need the real version of the Chicago Cubs offense to stand up. Show us who you are. And in part, look, I'm not going to talk badly about him because he's been incredible. But a big part of this is, who is PCA? Is he the guy we're seeing right now? Or is he the guy we saw at the start of the season?
Both.
Is he both? I want to talk to you about that. We'll do that next, because if you're looking for the CDGA Golf Show, there is no CDGA Golf Show today. Jack and I will be taking you right into White Sox Weekly at 9:30, White Sox baseball from Detroit. Jeff Meller on the broadcast starting at 9:30. There will be a golf show tomorrow, but I want to talk PCA next. It's Tyler and Shay. Jack McGrath in for Tyler. Tyler and Shay. Tyler has the day off. Jack sitting in. No golf show today. The golf show will be tomorrow morning, breaking down the U.S. Open, because we have White Sox baseball coming up at 9:30. White Sox Weekly with Jeff Meller into the call of the game. Sox at Tigers. Game two. Lost yesterday 4-3. Try to take game two and get in line to win another series for the White Sox today. Again, White Sox Weekly coming up at 9:30. I have to ask you about Pete Crow Armstrong.
Oh, yeah.
So I will give you the numbers.
Okay.
Since May 16th, no player in baseball has been better, according to Fangraphs. And it's not even particularly close. Since May 16th at Fangraphs, Pete Crow has a 3.1 wins above replacement. The next closest player is Shohei Ohtani at a flat 2. PCA's numbers. Leads the league in home runs, tied with Juan Soto at 11 in that stretch. He's slashing .347, .426, and a ridiculous .711 slug. Him and Ohtani are the only qualified hitters north of .700 slugging. A weighted runs created plus, I know, geek, .210, meaning he's 110% better than league average in offensive production. And again, 3.1 wins above replacement, a full win better than Ohtani, who is the next closest. The problem I have is, and it's not a problem, PCA playing this well is never a problem. Like, this is unbelievable. But it feels a little unsustainable.
Well, of course it is. Nobody's going to hit that well. Barry Bonds didn't hit that well.
Yeah, that's not true. You know.
Well, Barry Bonds hit close to that well.
If you extrapolate out what Pete Crow has done over the last 31 games, his OPS would come in 300 points south of Barry Bonds' 2004 OPS.
That's insane. Let's get Pete on some steroids.
I'm telling you.
That's ridiculous.
He had a 600 on base percentage.
All right, so I guess Barry Bonds is the only other person that could hit that well. He's not going to hit this well for the rest of the season. There's just no shot that happens. I understand that. Here's the positive things, though, for Pete Crow Armstrong. Early in the season, he was not taking walks. Did you know that yesterday was only the third time this entire year that he's taken more than one walk in a game? You mentioned that May 16th date. He's had three games where he's taken more than one, where he's had walked more than once. Those are only three games all season. He is starting to control the zone a lot better. Yep. His pitch selection is a lot better. He's not swinging out of his shoes on low curveballs that are breaking 3 feet outside the zone. That's been the big difference. And they showed on the television broadcast a few days ago, he's made the big adjustment with his feet. He's lowered his hands. And all of those things are leading to a much more calm, cool, collected PCA at the plate. And he's striking every ball, it feels like, at 115 miles per hour. So, yeah, he's been a lot better. I think it's time we just admit that he's a streaky player. People want to shy away for some reason from calling PCA a streaky player. That's what he is. That's what he's been for his entire very short 3-year where he's played full seasons career. He's a guy that has massive ups and he has massive downs, and you can hear it in his voice. He's an emotional player, so it makes sense that he has massive ups and massive downs because the emotions affect him. So when he's high, he rides that momentum. When he's low, unfortunately, he rides the low momentum, and he doesn't hit as well. So yeah, those are the things we're seeing with PCA. He's controlling the zone better. His load is different when he's at the plate. And it's all leading to very good things. And you just have to think he's feeling pretty good right now because everything he hits is hit hard. And remember, he's only 24 years old.
Uh-huh.
The emotional side of it is still coming along for him. He's not some seasoned vet, even though he's already been in the league for a few years. He's only 24. There are a lot of guys who are still just cracking the big leagues at 24 years old. There's more coming for Pete Crow Armstrong. He's still making the adjustments. He's still getting better. And I think we're seeing the product of some of those adjustments right now. And he's streaky, but that's okay.
So my question would be, do you buy that this is who he can be? And there is the reason you offered is the best reason. If you go look at his season last year and comp it to the last 31 games, his strikeout rate, right around 24-23%. He's going to strike out. His walk rate has doubled. This stretch of 31 games is double the walk rate from a year ago. That is the most positive change that there is because it speaks to what you're saying. His approach makes more sense, which almost by definition would mean this is more sustainable. But the part that I can't separate is it is feeling a little bit like a deja vu thing where last year I was the guy. He got hot and I was selling cap 40-40. Steal 40 bags, hit 40 homers. He didn't get there, but he had a 30-30 season. He was outstanding over the course of 162 games. At the end of the year, the end of last year was terrible. But over the course of the year, he was a better-than-average hitter, and he had a real heater in the summer. This year, we're kind of seeing the same thing, where he started awful, and now he's riding this month-long absolute tear. You have to figure water finds its level, or are you more like where Jack is at, that this is just who he is? He's a guy, he's going to have horrific slumps and unbelievable, unsustainable heaters.
You just have to hope that those heaters happen to come into September and October when the Cubs are in the playoffs. Fingers crossed. But that could lead you to a series win the way he's playing right now. He's leading all position players other than Shohei Ohtani, of course, because he's a special case. He's leading all position players right now in baseball reference wins above replacement. He's been one of the best players in the league.
His defense is incredible.
His defense is great. He's continuing to steal bases. At the minimum, he has a floor because of those things. Even if he's atrocious at the plate, he's still a positive player on the field. Now, I think we saw in the field as well, we saw the issue with the Sox fan. We saw a fly ball go over his head, and he didn't necessarily chase after it, which I didn't see as a big deal. But some people said, hey, maybe that is a big deal that he's not chasing after a ball that landed 20 feet behind him after he lost it in the lights. You see the issues at the plate creep into the field. But right now, we're not seeing that. We're not seeing a lot of issues because he's feeling the momentum, and he's feeling really good right now.
I just don't want to get okey-doked again where I, buy into this fully, and I'm thinking, PC. I keep seeing, the people putting out the tweets. So extrapolate his season out, and he'd have 80 home runs, and he's not going to have 80. Come on.
Then just admit that he's streaky. That's how you don't get okey-doked into it.
Boy, you really had a problem with Carmen and Yurko refusing to say that PC is streaky.
Because he is. I've never seen a streakier player in my life right now.
Oh, that's not true. That can't be.
Who has been streakier? Javi's streaks might have been shorter lived, but what do you call this right now for PCA? He's playing like the best player in Major League Baseball, maybe even better than Shohei Ohtani for a month plus
right
now.
But that's why.
And he's also been atrocious at the plate.
That's why I bring it up, though.
For a little bit.
I bring it up because if you take his whole career, you'll find stretches of 1,000 at bats where he's awful. And then you'll find a stretch of 800 at-bats where he's the best player in the sport. And that's where I'm like, which one are you? He's so hard for me to quantify because you're right. Like, you don't see a player oscillate this much typically. Like, you're going to have stretches where you're incredible and then stretches where you're just okay. But I can't remember a player that had stretches this long of being terrible at the plate and stretches this long of being basically the best hitter in the league. It's really odd where I keep thinking, okay, over the course of a season, water will find its level and eventually you're going to be the guy you are. But maybe this is the guy he's either going to be the worst hitter imaginable or the best hitter in the league. Yeah. There's no in between.
That's okay.
There's never been a stretch of games where you look at Pete Armstrong and go, he's just league average right now.
And what happened to Pete Armstrong at the beginning of last season is, I think, is that why we view him this way. When Pete Armstrong started last season hot, the expectation of what Pete Armstrong was changed dramatically. He went from being just a piece on this team to being the superstar on the Chicago Cubs. And everybody's expectations rose astronomically.
Well, now he's meeting them.
Astronomically for what he was going to be. And maybe, just maybe, we have to let a 24-year-old player who's already shown that he is an all-star level player at the age of 23 and once again is going to be an all-star level player and right now is, other than Shohei, should be atop the MVP leaderboard or close to, maybe we just have to let him figure it out and not expect ridiculously great things out of him and just right. Let him figure it out as he goes. And I think that's what we're seeing now. The adjustments are him figuring things out. It's led to him being streaky, but that's because he's emotional. And that's because he's 24 years old.
Well, now, it's just the nature of the sport, too, that it is such a long season over the course of... It's like Ian Happ. Ian Happ's going to have stretches where he's awful, and then you're going to look up after 162 and go, yeah, he was better than league average player.
Yeah.
That's just what... He's just a solid player. Like, PCA is going to be kind of... You'll look at the end of 162, and you're going to go, he's well above average. And his defense is spectacular. He's going to routinely be in that MVP conversation because of his defense, because of what it does for some of the more advanced numbers, like the wins above replacement stuff. But the stretches where he's slumping are so frustrating. And then this happens, and I'm like, if I start believing this is real, I'm going to get okey-doked because what he's doing is impossible to sustain.
He's not going to sustain what he's doing right now.
Are you familiar with Mark and South Bend's phone call about Braden Montgomery?
No, I'm not.
So Mark and South Bend, the morning of Braden Montgomery's call-up, called into Cap'n Jay Hood. And Hoodie said, I know we get this call all the time, so I'm going to put it on so that we can have the conversation, and then we'll move on. And Mark and South Bend called to say the White Sox should call up Braden Montgomery. 4 hours later, news broke, Braden's on his way up. 10 hours later, Braden hits a walk-off home run in his first game as a White Sox.
Mark should have a job as special advisor to Chris Getz.
So I'm going to try to bless Sox fans again with something. Mark in South Bend, you are on Tyler and Shay.
Hey, Shay. Hey, Jack. How you doing? Thank you for letting me chime in. And, yeah, I needed a break from 162. And like you said, the World Cup and the U.S. Open are a good break. But every night I go to my phone and see if Carlson Montgomery hit another home run. I got the Carlson Montgomery. I'm watching every game. His pace right now is to hit 42. He's hit 41 in 142 games. And I think you said something interesting, Shay, Thursday, that according to Fangraphs defensive run saves, he's sixth in all baseball for shortstops. Is that correct?
Give me a moment because I think the stat's even better than that. He is seventh in all of baseball at Fangraphs at any position in defensive value. Oh,
okay. Right now, what the Sox need to do, what Chris Getz needs to do, I don't know how he does it, whether he calls Mr. Reinsdorf first or the Espíola brothers, to get ready to make a check for $120 million for a 4-year extension now on Mr. Colson Montgomery. And this puts a positive message to the rest of the team. There'll be others that'll be getting good checks. Keep what you're doing going. The White Sox right now are on a pace to hit 220 home runs, and that's with 2 weeks without Murakami in the lineup.
Mark, I wanted you to do that because now, after you nailed it with the Brave Montgomery when we put you on, maybe we'll get a push notification in a few hours. Colson Montgomery's got an extension.
I don't know if we
it'll
will.
It'll be more than $120 million over 4 years. I would comp it to more to the Connor Griffin, Kevin McGonigal thing. If you could sign him up for 7 years and $140 million, that would, I think, be kind of what you're looking at.
I would think so as well. I mean, PCA was a 6 year, $115 million. It would be same as Kevin McGonigal, Griffin. It'll be similar to that. I'd be skeptical that's something the Sox would do right now, because I think there's other priorities.
Murakami
is only on a 2 year deal. Colson Montgomery, with his arbitration years, and you'd be looking at buying him out of his to get a couple of more years on the back end of that extension. He's still got 5 years of team control after this season left for Colson Montgomery. So yes, you want to sign him up. Colson Montgomery is 24 years old. So yes, he wants to sign him up, but you already have him signed through his age 29 season.
And then he'll want to hit free agency.
And then he'll probably want to hit free agency. Now, you could sign him up to a longer term deal, but right now, with the priority being Munetaka Murakami, and I think the White Sox most likely will want to sign Munetaka Murakami to more of a long-term deal, Montgomery's contract may take a backseat until Ishbia's in full control and able to spend that kind of money. Also, remember, we might be headed towards a lockout season. Who knows what the CBA is going to look like? Who knows if there's going to be a salary cap? Who knows if there's going to be a floor? That could change how all of these contracts look in the upcoming years.
If the players get what they want, though, the other side of it is the years of control could be reduced.
True.
Which I think is the most obvious compromise to come out of it. Again, I don't want to nerd out over labor arguments, but I would think at some point a compromise would include players don't want to hit free agency at age 30 anymore. Set it up the way the NBA is set up.
Free agency is 27, 25.
Where instead of 7 years of control, we're going to have you for 5. And you'll hit free agency at a more acceptable point. Now, if that were to change, that's where I do think a deal with Colson Montgomery becomes more realistic. It'd be tough getting the 7 years done, because then he's hitting free agency at 31. You're taking a lot of possible earnings off the table for him in the future.
And there's so much that goes into that too. Are the guys who are already up, who are already under those contracts, are they grandfathered into those things, or is this just for players coming up if they do reduce the amount of time of team control? There's so many factors. Yeah,
there's no way of knowing what it'll look like. I do think it would be a sign of goodwill to Sox fans to sign one of these guys, because listen, as much as we talk about PCA being this young superstar, for some reason, Colson Montgomery flies under the radar.
Well, it's because he's consistent.
He's one of the 6 fastest hitters in history by games played to get to 41 career home runs.
There's not as much to talk about Colson Montgomery. What are we going to say? He's good. He's awesome. He hits a ton of home runs. With PCA, because of those low lows and those high highs, it's what is he going to be? With Colson Montgomery, I think we figured out quickly what he's going to be. He's going to be a solid fielder, a low average, medium to high on base guy who hits a ton of home runs. And that's just what he's going to be, which is awesome.
He's one of these new, it's the swing hard, miss often, but the result when you do connect is going to be great. That's what, Kyle Schwarber, Aaron Judge, they all operate the same way. Swing hard, miss often, but you're going to hit a lot of home runs. That's Colson. And to contextualize how many home runs he's hit, he is faster to 41 homers than Aaron Judge in terms of games played. So it's where, he's on pace for this season, 42 home runs, and people keep telling me, well, slow your roll, let it play out, it's only June. Every game he's played, he's been on pace for a 40 home run season. His first 140 games, whatever, north of 40. So why should I think he isn't going to hit 40 homers this year?
I mean, he's on pace for it.
And he'd be one of something like 16 shortstop seasons ever to hit 40 bombs?
The White Sox have a ton of pop in that lineup, and that's what's going to sustain them. And I don't think it's going anywhere. They're doing it with Murakami out, who's probably their best home run hitter on the team.
They're fun, man. All right. More Tyler and Shea. We're going to wrap the show. Jack McGrath is in for Tyler Aki. We got White Sox baseball coming up at 9:30.
This is Tyler and Shea.
Tyler and Shea.
I know you're going to dig this.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
We swept Marquette.
Wrapping things up, Tyler and Shea. Jack McGrath in for Tyler. Thank you to Nick Palazzolo producing today. Jack, I have to ask you.
Okay.
Are you going to see Toy Story 5 this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, I'll see it. I don't know about this weekend. I'll hate watch it.
What do you mean hate? Why go see it?
Because I need to see it so I know how to form my opinion truly on the movie. Here's in 1995. Because this movie is not a movie that should have been made. In 1995, Toy Story 1 came out. Great movie. Masterpiece. Then in the late 90s, you had Toy Story 2. And in the mid-2000s, you had, it might have even been 2010, you had Toy Story 3 come out.
I think I was in high school. I want to say it was 2010 or 2011.
Perfect. Phenomenal trilogy. Didn't need a third. Didn't need a fourth. Phenomenal trilogy. Wrapped it up. The toys left Andy. They went to a new home. You didn't need anything else. Nothing. You're good. It was perfect. They made the perfect trilogy of movies. And then, as you were talking about with the same tickets prices that you're talking about, corporate greed got involved. And they decided they needed to make a Toy Story 4 to sell tickets because it's a big name production. And Toy Story 4, frankly, was atrocious. It was not a good movie.
I saw it.
It was fine for a movie.
I didn't think it was atrocious.
It was not a Toy Story level. Toy Story was a perfect trilogy, great movies, great storytelling. For Pete's sake, Toy Story 3 got nominated for Best Picture.
For Pete's sake.
For Pete's sake. Toy Story 3 got nominated for Best Picture. You know how hard it is for an animated movie to do that? Extremely hard.
Didn't Up also get nominated
for Best Picture? Yeah, sure it did, but Toy Story 3 did.
Listen, my thing is Pixar's got a real good track record. People saying Toy Story 5 is excellent.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why you're so angry about it. Who cares?
I haven't seen people saying Toy Story 5 is excellent. I'm going to go and I'm going to watch Toy Story 5.
What do you mean?
And I'm going to shape my opinion on it. And if it is subpar like Toy Story 4 was, I am going to petition to take Toy Story 4 and Toy Story 5 out of Toy Story canon.
All right.
So they won't be officially part of the canon of the Toy Story universe.
I can't believe you're this pissed. I've never seen you mad about anything.
Shape.
94% on Rotten Tomatoes and an audience score of 95% for Toy Story 5.
We'll see. That's why I have to get...
You got Conan O'Brien playing a training toilet.
Oh, great. Conan's in the movie. Let's all stop the presses.
Are you a not Conan guy?
I like Conan. I have to see the movie to form my whole opinion. Maybe I'll be proven wrong. I've been proven wrong before.
I can't believe you're so heated about it. He's awfully animated about this.
Do you know what my biggest pet peeve? One of my biggest pet peeves. One of my biggest pet peeves is when shows are good and then they ruin it with the ending. Toy Story 3
Give
had
an
the
example.
Perfect ending. How I Met Your Mother.
Okay. Well, I don't think How I Met Your Mother is on the same level of good that Toy Story was.
Star Wars has hurt its legacy with all the new movies.
Absolutely.
Exactly. So if they had kept it at the original six.
But I don't think Toy Story is in any danger of ruining its legacy. It's movies for kids. It's about dolls.
What do you mean? If Star Wars could ruin its legacy, why can't Toy Story ruin its legacy?
You need new batteries, man. I can't believe how upset you are about this.
Toy Story 3 left it up to the imagination that the toys
were on. You're pushing 30 and you're hot about Toy Story.
Pushing 30, I'm 25. What are we talking about pushing
30? My God. All right, I'm getting
this. Don't age me out of
this. I'm getting the signal from the other studio. We got to hit White Sox baseball. Thank you to Nick Palazzolo. Thank you, Jack, for sitting in. It's Tyler and Shea.
Getting a diagnosis of cancer, it's tough.